We're going to talk about John chapter 3 today. And John chapter 3 is the home of the most often quoted verse in the Bible. Walked into prayer meeting yesterday, and Mike Booth had a John 3:16 t-shirt on. And I was going to ask him how many versions he had it memorized in, but I didn't. I'm going to be friendly. And you can see it at ball games, John 3:16, I mean, all over the place, right? It's probably the most famous verse. But in context, I think it's one of the least understood. I was praying one day, and this has been long enough ago that I'm not going to tell you how long. And I was asking the Lord about a verse I'd been working on. And just I said, I don't have this like I'd like to have it. I mean, I kind of know. And he said, just really quietly and gently, and he said, you don't have John 3:16 the way you ought to have it. And I said, so you're telling me there's more? He said, that's exactly what he was trying to tell me. And so I often tell people, if you read John 3:16 and can't get anything out of it, problem might be on your end. Anyway, so Lord, we open ourselves to you. Thank you for people coming to you. Thank you for celebrating the fact of all that you have done for us, for the reason you came, for the purpose that you came, and the power that you brought when you came. And now today, Lord, we'd really love to be affected by the words that you've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And I'll just go. Had a kid in the youth group who used to call it Nicodemus, like nicotine. And he said, I'm hooked on that name. Anyway, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs. And the literal thing for signs there is attesting miracles. So signs, wonders, miracles. Nobody can attest to what you say by what you do unless God's with them like that. Might have some people who could say some lofty words, but the power and the authority to carry those things out is a totally different issue. So we said, so we know that you've come from God. Well, I'll slow down just a little bit. It says that Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Actually, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the big muckety-muck. You couldn't get any higher than that. And he said, we know. Well, if you go back and interview the other Pharisees, they aren't so sure he's anything. So I think what he's doing is kind of in a closet way saying, I know that what you got to be from God. Because it wasn't a corporate conclusion or decision that had been arrived at in a meeting, and they hadn't sent him in to say, boy, we really think you're from God. He came to him at night, probably for two reasons. One, you couldn't get with him within 10 feet of him during the daytime. They just had to tear the roof off the house to get to him, if you remember what we read in Mark chapter 2. And of course, you can be incognito at night. So he comes to him at night and he said, and I think there's another purpose here too, coming at night. He might have thought, I can't do this over coffee. I need to talk to the man. I need to hear him. I need to have him answer my questions. And I think that had a lot to do with why he came at night. So Nicodemus isn't a bad guy at all. He just is not as knowing as he needed to be. But he says, no one can do these things without these attesting miracles unless God's with him. So Jesus answered and said to him, well, thank you, Nicodemus. That's really sweet, and I definitely appreciate the fact that you notice that something's going on, and we'll get you on the mailing list and, all those things that you would be gracious and say. But look what he says. Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly. Now, when you see that in English, truly, truly, it means, hey, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, that's exactly what it means. I am speaking truth to you. I want you to know this is the truth. Says it once, it's significant. Says it twice, you didn't get it the first time. Truly, truly, I mean, I am telling you the truth. unless one's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Well, if you notice, there wasn't a question about that. There was a declaration. We see you doing God stuff out there, and we want to know what's going on. And so I just think poor Nicodemus is going, now wait a minute. Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You can't even understand that it exists, is what he's trying to say. And so Nicodemus, revealing his humanness, says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And I know Jesus wouldn't do this, but if I'm Jesus, I'm going to say, duh. I mean, when you were a child, I was 5 pounds, 15 ounces. I was a runt. My next brother was 8 pounds. But if you're 178, mom cannot accommodate this. And that's what he's asking him. You don't mean that I gotta, huh? How can this be? And, you know, Jesus is kind of going, you're the teacher? I mean, you're the Pharisee, you're the wise one, you're the one that understands the prophets, you know, and that's your conclusion. And so, and we'll look at this again, but it says, you know, spiritual things are spiritually perceived, right?
Yeah.
Now, I've got 15 ways to go here. I'll go this one because it's familiar. When we're born physically, we have a physical body. Right? And we are in touch with through our five senses, the physical world. And Jesus is saying, if that's all you got, you can't tap into the kingdom, because
right.
My kingdom isn't of this world.
That's right.
It's at a spiritual dimension. And it takes a spiritual person to perceive and understand. I like to say it this way. When I was physically born, I was born with an AM radio. And I could hear everything on the AM dial. When you get born again, you pick up FM.
Yeah.
Now listen, FM signals are out there all the time, but you didn't have the capacity to receive or perceive them.
Right.
So here's Nicodemus, and all he gets is 810 WHB, which is what I listen to on AM, by the way. But he couldn't get 101 the Fox to save his life. Because it takes a different receiver. The messages are already there. The communication is already there. The music is already there. But you can't pick it up if you don't have a receiver. And what happens when you give your heart to Jesus is you get the receiver. Now things are different. I perceive, I receive differently. And what you said now suddenly makes much more sense to me than it did 10 minutes ago. I think I may be talking to people here or online who've been around church for a long time, but round peg, square hole, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't make enough sense for me to keep doing this, but it doesn't make any sense for me not to do this. You don't know what, I'm telling you. You can't see the kingdom. And in two verses, we're going to see that you can't enter into the kingdom. Unless you've been born again. You have to have the receiver. You have to be born of the Spirit, born from above, born of God. Well, why is that so puzzling? I don't know, but it is for a lot of people. Because you can be as religious as the most religious person you've ever met and not have entrance into the kingdom of God. You know, I mean, you know, the famous thing is to say, if you live in a garage, it doesn't make you're going to be a Ford, you know. But if you live in a root cellar, you're not going to come out of cabbage either. It's what happens in here. It's being born again. It's a new way of life. And Jesus is telling him, Nicodemus, it's cool. I'm glad that you perceive the miracles. That's very significant. But that's not what you're here for. What you're here for is to understand, where did it come from? How did it happen? How can this be real? So he says, verse 5, I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, Different people will tell you that means different things. But to me, the contrast is there, and some people say that's baptism, the water part. I don't want to get all caught up in that. The issue is that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So if you've only been born in a natural way, it's no reason stuff. Some of this stuff doesn't make any sense because you're not on the same wavelength, if I can say it that way. Now, that's you're not going to find wavelength in the Bible, okay? I mean, don't go look that up. And you're not going to find WHB in the Bible, I guarantee you. The issue is the newness of life that comes, the capacity to see and know and hear and be heard in the kingdom is totally different. And Jesus said, that's what I bring. And that's what's happening to people. And that's what needs to happen to people. So he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Well, see, when he says, don't be amazed, but this is amazing. It's not that it's not amazing. Don't be overwhelmed by this. And I'll slow down just a little bit. When you talk about Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and all of this, you know, they are learners, teachers of the law, but they also teach the traditions of the fathers, which are almost held at the same level as the scriptures. This is a problem. And that's what they do. So he didn't just have the Old Testament in his mind. He had all of the traditions of the fathers, which would not lead him to come to this kind of a conclusion. So the attesting miracles get his attention, but he can't figure out what Jesus is saying. And I kind of understand that a little bit. So he says, you twice in five verses, you have to be born again. What I really mean is you have to be born again. And that word can mean born anew, born from above. Several translations have it that way. The idea is it's born of God. You're alive with the life of God. And that's what got me when people started, after I gave my heart to the Lord, I understood, oh, that made the most sense to me. I've always been alive. I got a birth certificate. I can prove it. But I've never been alive with the life of God before. Well, I thought God was in everybody. Well, you were wrong. See, the Bible says that God is everybody's creator. He's not everybody's father.
That's right.
See, Jesus came to his own Jewish people, and they didn't receive him, but to as many as did receive him and believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become a child of God. So it's something that he grants. It's a gift that he grants. It's not something that you earn. It's not even something where I'm going to talk myself into believing that. You know, have you ever been around somebody that talked themselves into believing? 3 days later, somebody talks them out of it. But when the Holy Spirit is in your spirit and you've been, and he opens the word of God to you on the inside, you know, you can say, well, I don't know that I really understand that, but I know this. I know this. I'm alive with the life of God. And that's not a braggadocious statement. It's like, finally, by the grace of God. So what does it mean to be born again? I think if you can see, Jesus mentions this twice in five verses. This is probably the central concept. So I'm going to take you a few places. These are on your outline if you have it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Wait a minute. We're Americans. We don't want to be controlled by anything. But that's what it says. The word for being filled, actually, being filled with the Spirit, is the idea of being controlled, where you are offering the Lord control of your life because you're not doing as good a job of controlling it as you would like. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. That's an interesting concept that we don't have time for me to land on again today. But he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, this is so good, we recognize no one according to the flesh. And I'm telling you, we recognize everybody according to the flesh. And people do all sorts of stuff to make it more appealing. Some of us have more work to do than others, but do you understand what I'm saying? Everything we do is built about how people look. Now, If I had the choice of looking at pretty people or ugly people, I'd probably choose pretty. You know? But if they were ugly on the inside, I'd figure that out and I wouldn't want to be around those people. Now, the cool part is you can be attractive both ways. You can have inner beauty and external beauty too. But Paul is saying here, we don't recognize anybody that way anymore. Only by the five senses, only by how somebody looks or smells or that kind of stuff. We don't do that any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. See, born again, born anew. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's strong stuff. I think one of the most significant parts of how Paul here is defining being born again, he says, oh, if anyone's in Jesus, then he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Well, you know, when you got saved, did you immediately quit doing all the stuff you used to do? Well, one of the things you didn't quit doing was lying, if you believe that, because that's a lie. No, but we understand now we have options. There's a choice in me now and an empowered choice that I can actually pick the stuff that makes him happy over even the things maybe I would choose for me. And I could pick things for other people and the way I would respond to them that would honor him instead of just being to my advantage. And I love this. He said, all these things are from God. Well, I don't understand all these things. Don't worry about it. They're from God. And if they're from God, he'll iron it out for you. So what do? It's called accept and believe. Well, I don't understand how one person died and everybody died and all that kind of stuff. I didn't either. And I told him about it. I said, this doesn't make any sense to me. He pointed to a coat rack. He said, just put them on the hat rack, man. Just hang all those ideas there and I'll take care of them one at a time. Doggone if he didn't. I got to the point where I forgot to worry about it. Because there was a new way of perceiving life. Where was God in all of this? I love it. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's really hard to get a hold of. But I did something wrong. Yeah, right, duly noted. But he's not counting it against me. Right, he made one sacrifice for sin and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Well, but how can that be? Mercy. That's how. Well, but that's not right. That's not just. Sure it is. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. I mean, I could go on. But haven't you had that problem where you messed up and you knew you messed up and your wife told you 14 times that you messed up? Because you usually did it in ways that offended her. And yeah, but, and it doesn't mean we keep trying to do that or just say God doesn't care. It's just that he's paid for this and there's a way for me not to do this. And he's going to help me if I give my life to him. He's going to continually renew my way of thinking to where I make choices that agree with him and my outcomes change. That's the gospel. See, but you can't have that if you're not born again, right? I remember way back in the day when I was doing youth ministry, I had kids that would get in trouble with their parents and their parents would send them to me. I don't know if that was the wisest choice, but they did. And they sent him to me, and the kids, this one kid in particular, says, I know. My mom says, I got to turn over a new leaf. And I wanted to tell him about Adam and Eve, but I didn't. And there's a story there. And he said, but I got to turn over a new leaf. I said, no, because when you turn over the new leaf, it's the same sap living in the tree. And he just goes, oh, but if I'm relying on the newness of life that he's placed in me, God produces a life different than the one I produce. Yes. And if I'll partner with him, my life will start to turn and change. And people even accuse you of doing things that God must have done that. And I'm going, well, if he did, you knew it didn't come from me, it came from him, right? And so there's still a lot of old saps running around out there trying to engineer change in their life. That's really hard. And I'm happy for anybody that's trying to do self-improvement, you know, lose weight, quit smoking, I mean, whatever those things might be. But the power to want to do things differently comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. That's being born again, having the desire and the power to do the will of God. And so Paul is saying, you got to understand, he took care of this in the last part of the passage said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. So you got to be born again to be able to see that. Let me read that to you again. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I made myself look in the mirror, not because I was so focused, but because I came to the point where I didn't really understand everything, but I knew that this was the truth. And I was going to make choices to believe the truth. And about the farthest thing from the truth that I'd read in the Bible is that I'm the righteousness of God. And I'd look in the mirror and I said, I'm looking at the guy. You see him like I see him. This is not the righteousness of God I'm looking at in the mirror. And he goes, is to me. And I said, but I said this, I did this, I went there. And I've paid for that. Now, I'm not saying there are not consequences that you might experience for doing those things, but my forgiveness is available on every one of those things. And if you do it, not only will I forgive you, but I'll cleanse you. And it'll make you start off with a clean slate, and you're one step closer to living out what the truth says about you. See, but until you're born again, that's not true about us. You understand what I'm saying? If the Spirit of God doesn't live in you, then that word isn't true about you. You're not the righteousness of God in Christ yet because you haven't received. And so when you do stuff, it's bad. It's bad when you do it if you're a believer as well, but your destiny is different. And that's the thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received... This is good. If you know you've given your heart to the Lord, this is all about you. Because it says, now we have received. That's past tense. This isn't something that's going to happen to you. It's something that's already happened to you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, then this is something upcoming that can be true for you. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we can know the things freely given to us by God. Wow. Which things we also speak of, not in words of taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he's only got the AM receiver. You understand how I'm making that work. The natural man, not supposed to. It's just like if someone from Estonia came up here and started speaking Estonian, and I've been there a bunch of times, I couldn't give you a cup full of words. Because this is a very difficult language to know. And they might say the most spiritually empowered words you could ever hear, but you wouldn't understand them because you don't have a language. And it's very much the same. A natural man just can't understand, can't perceive and receive at the level that he needs to because they haven't been born again. That's why Jesus says, that's why it's so important. Romans 8, chapter 4, or verse 14 says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. See, that's being born again. We're adopted into the family, and he pours the love of God in our hearts. When that happened to me, I didn't have any grid for that. I couldn't figure out what happened. I was startled by how I felt on the inside. I mean, I didn't know if I'd lost my mind or found it. And there might have been some argument on that, but I remember my famous thing. I told my wife, I feel like somebody took my brains out of my head, washed them, and put them back in. I thought that differently. I mean, like kind of right away, not instantly, but kind of right away. But part of it was, I'd never had the kind of love that God has in him in me. You know, wow, heavy. I mean, it was startling, the difference, because he is so unselfish. Me, not so much. But it was a conquering kind of love. It's like where I knew I didn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that I had previously worried about, even though I knew they weren't, all those things weren't all solved. Does that make any sense at all? It's just that, oh, love of God, man. And this is taste one. I mean, you know, this is the first week. Something's going to happen. And he says, the Spirit himself, this is the Spirit of God, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now that really helped me, because when I got saved, I got pretty radically saved. I mean, you know, yeah, pretty radically saved. And I quit doing the stuff that I, you know, did, you know. I didn't quit smoking cigarettes, but there were other cigarettes that I quit smoking. You know, no longer rolled my own, so to speak. And quit the illegal stuff. And things happened. Things fell off of me, but not instantly everything. But this did happen. Spirit of God testified in me that I was the Son of God. I didn't understand it. I just said, I'm going to just go with it. But he did. People would say, well, but you did this. And I said, "I Jesus, right. He's in here. And that's all I know. Real. And he says, I'm in. I got more confidence in the stuff he's done to get me in than I do the stuff I don't do to get me out. Huh? That's being born again. You all could give the same testimony. It's not just me, but I got the mic, so I'm saying it. But this passage is so strong. He's telling Nicodemus, dude, if you were born again, the Holy Spirit would be telling you this stuff on the inside that I'm telling you on the outside. Testifying. Amen. That is so strong. So I just know people, after a while, I've been a church member, I've been this, I've been that. Listen, you got to know. For that you know that the Spirit of God is in you, testifying that, yeah, you did this, and you know, 2019 was a bad year, and you shouldn't have done that. But you are a child of God. And if that's not the case, we can help you with that today. Amen. Because it's got to happen. And Jesus is telling an elite religious leader, you got to have this happen, man. Galatians 4. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as his sons. There we are. Because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. People told me that, and I said, how does that happen? And I finally said, well, it happened, so who cares? Amen. You know, I could tell. I would have people come up to me in a lunch line saying, you've got the Spirit, don't you? And I said, which one? I don't, you know. I mean, I really didn't. It come in, something's happened to you. And I said, good. What? I did not have a theological underpinning for these things. But I had people, I can see the Spirit of God in your eyes. I can't. But they could. It was amazing. Why? Because he put it there. He's the outpouring. He did it. I didn't do anything. I just said yes. Yeah. So all I'm saying is here, the necessity, Jesus says this twice, this has got to happen. You're not going to go any further. Because just think about this. Here's Nicodemus. He's wanting to know this thing about the Son of Man and the Son of God, and how could you be, you know, alive in heaven and alive on the earth. And he's going to have to learn about resurrection. Pretty tough. That you know, you got to believe that I'm the resurrection and the life and the bread of, and all that kind of stuff. And he can't get the first thing. The first thing is, open your heart. Be born again. And so, as a leader of the Jewish people, it would be a very significant thing if he could have this experience, if Nicodemus could say, oh, all that Old Testament stuff's come together, I get it, and it's all about Jesus. He hadn't got there yet. And Like I say, he wasn't a bad guy. He was just a really staunch religious person who had not yet understood who Jesus was or what he was doing. Yeah. I have several other references, but I'm going to quit. He says, you got to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus is thinking, every time I say something, he keeps telling me something I don't know. It was pretty puzzling for him. So, John chapter 3, verse 8. He's going to try to help him again, I think. All right, I know he thinks he's going to help him again. We'll see if Nicodemus thinks that. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And so is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Huh? Nicodemus is going, and he said, well, it's like this. You go outside, and yes, you can see leaves moving, you know, and you stand in the wind, you can hear the sound of the leaves crackling, and you're affected by the warmth or the coolness of the breeze, but you don't know where it came from, you don't know where it's going, and you can't really see it, you can only see what it does, but you are affected by the wind. And he's saying, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't try to figure it all out. You don't need to understand creation at this point. Just recognize. In the background, you hear the second chapter of Acts. You don't know which way the wind blows. Anyway, those of you who are old enough, if you don't, ask your grandparents, they'll tell you. So Nicodemus, Jesus tells him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him and said, you're the teacher and you don't understand these things. Truly, I say to you, we speak of what you know about and testify about what we've seen. You don't accept our testimony. He said, I'm trying to tell you who I am. I'm trying to tell you how different this is from the religion that you're steeped in, and you just can't get it. And he's right. He wasn't getting it. And then he tells him at the very end, it's going to be like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And if you looked, it was called, it's look and live. They lifted up, and when you looked at this, at the serpent raised up, there were people getting bitten and killed by snakes, and that saved them from that tragedy. He says, when I get lifted up like that, it'll result in salvation for everyone who believes. So he's trying to relate to him now scripturally so he can have that kind of an experience. But I put in your outline, but Nicodemus comes around. You get to John 7, and they're giving Jesus a hard time, and Nicodemus stands up and said, wait a minute, isn't our tradition to wait and hear from someone before we judge them? And they just say, arr. And then you get later, after Jesus dies, you know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come and ask Pilate, who just had him killed for the body of Jesus, and says that Nicodemus buys 100 pounds of aloes and spices and stuff to do the burial. So now this is a public proclamation that he and Joseph believe. So he did come around. Took him about 16 chapters, but he did come around, and which is wonderful. But the Lord says here, verse 16, then we'll quit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This whosoever is kind of like, I looked it up, it's everybody. Everybody. Now, some people have drifted towards universalism. If you know what that is, like everybody gets saved. Right. Which is not what it says. It says, if you believe, everybody gets saved who believes. And if you don't, that's why you didn't. Right? So he's not saying that. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now here's the verse tucked right next to verse 16. It's called verse 17. And most people don't get this one. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's why he came. He came so people would escape judgment, not come under judgment. But that's not what you hear. The Lord's coming back and he's really ticked. I've seen t-shirts like that, only they don't say ticked. And he's going to come and get everybody. No. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? You can't see or enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born from above, born of God, born again. That's why he came, so people would know. And so he's going to come with judgment in his hand. No. He's coming with life in his hand. That's why he came. And you got to know that, because it's easier to tell people, because a lot of Christians don't believe that. Well, you're going to burn in hell. Yeah? I can remember, I told my wife this yesterday, way back when, before I became a Christian, my wife was a Christian, and she was going to prayer meetings and stuff, and they were praying for me. I didn't know, because I didn't go, and I didn't know the people. And she said, hey, we're going to have a card party. Well, I played cards, and I didn't have any friends. I was running a Taco Bell restaurant, working 77 hours a week. I didn't see anybody. I didn't know anybody. I didn't like life. I wanted my mother. I mean, I was a bad time. And she said, well, it's going to be on a Saturday night. And I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, you don't have to pray or anything. We're just going to play cards. I said, oh, okay. So I'm playing 4-point pitch, 10-point pitch, you know, that kind of stuff. And something's other, yeah, I don't know, spades. I don't know, we're just playing cards. And I, of course, they put me at the table with the pastor. And we were playing, and that dude sandbagged me pretty bad. And got to the end, I played my card, and boom, me. He just got me. And I said, I'll be damned. And I look at him, I said, probably. And he said, oh, we can do something about that. And I said, whose deal? You know what I mean? Got away from it. But the issue was I was all about sin was going to be punished. And I wasn't following the rules. There was no question about that. And I understood enough to know that, you know, there were rules that could be followed. I didn't understand grace or mercy or any of those kinds of things. So when I said that guy, he kind of nodded at me. Like I said, well, probably. He goes, yep, stay as you are. Now, he didn't say anything to his credit. And he was one of the two guys that led me to the Lord about a year later, which was pretty cool. But I had an understanding that Jesus came to judge the world. And I look around the world, I thought, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Things aren't going so righteous down here. And they're quite a bit worse now than they were then. At least observedly. Jesus said, listen, I'm not here to judge the world. Yeah. The Lord says, I didn't send my son to judge the world. I send him that the world could be saved through him. Now listen to me. This is pretty simple. This is like eye of the needle and the thread, you know. You get saved through him, not against him, not over him, not under him, not around him. It's through him. And you, there may be, I don't know this, there may be 10,000 ways of getting to Jesus. There's only one way of getting to God. And that's through the way he made. Amen. And that's through Jesus. Well, you guys are narrow-minded. Yeah, we're so narrow-minded that whosoever will may come. Right. We're so narrow-minded that everybody can if they will. Right. Don't let people tell you you're narrow-minded. You got a Bible? Yeah. Can I use it? I always like to say this. I'm that thick. That's how narrow-minded I am.
Got one thicker than
that. Yeah, I got one on wheels, man. That, you know. The idea, of course, is that the grace and mercy of God is that we would find our way to him. So through him, we could get everything that God promised. Mm-hmm. That's what Nicodemus really wanted, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell him. But he wasn't planning on going through Jesus to get to God. And that's the only way that you can do it. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. Wow. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So see, judgment is something we bring upon ourselves by failing to receive grace and mercy. Now listen to me. The Bible says that nobody can come to the Lord unless they're drawn, lured, magnetized, you know, pulled. Well, and if God doesn't want anyone to perish, that means if he's just, and he is, then he has to draw and pull everybody. Amen. So everybody's got a shot. Amen. And fact is, everybody's got lots of shots. You have no idea. I go back to when I was 7 and see that the Lord was trying to work on me, but I wouldn't permit it, you know. He who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. Here's the judgment. That light, that's Jesus, came into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So, see, the onus is on, hey guys, I'm giving you a chance here. Please take it. Please take it. Because if you don't, it's already decided. I can't do anything about it. There's only one way to get to me. And if you won't take it, what am I going to do? For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Can I give you what that means? See, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus holds the whole world together by his word of power. Isn't that cool? This God, so loved the world, sent his Son, that if you just believe, you have eternal life. Well, what's that supposed to mean to me? Here's what it means to you. God loves you. Amen. You matter to the God who holds the whole universe together by his word of power. You mean something to God. Yes. I don't even like God. Why would I mean something to him? Because of what he's like, not because of what you're like.
Right.
Nice. Huh? But just think about that for a minute. That guy that you're going to drive by that is trying to get money at the corner or every corner, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I just know this. That guy matters to God.
Yeah.
It does. Is he doing the right thing? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's the right motives? I don't know. But that guy matters to God. Yeah. He does. The guy that gets on TV or wherever and says a whole bunch of stuff that are blaspheming and like I used to do, that guy means something to God.
Amen.
You matter to God. And, you know, after I became a Christian, I thought, that's freaky good. why would I, this little pipsqueak from Iowa, why would I matter to God? Because he's pretty good, man.
Yes.
Huh? Because he gets it. And so if you don't get anything else about what I said today, you matter. You matter. Oh, what does that mean? What should I do about that? Well, either turn to him or return to him.
Amen.
That's what you do. That's what everybody needs to do. And so here's Jesus talking to Nicodemus, this religious zealot, teacher, scholarly person, and he sees, oh, this is going to take some work. He understands, but by the end of the book of John, Nicodemus is a out of the closet believing, risking his position, his life, his money, to be able to see that Jesus has proper burial. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Took him a little while. I just want you to know that. Well, the Lord's, he's timeless. So you can't wear him out. You can't. Oh, if you just leave me alone for a while, ain't going to happen. He cares too much.
Yeah.
He cares too much. Well, but what if I don't respond? Well, I don't know about you. If I get in a cold room, I turn up the heat.
That's good.
Right?
Yes, he does.
And he has universal thermostatic control. Well, I know, before I became a Christian, I just thought, this is all craziness. It doesn't make any sense. You know what makes sense? That God is love. Yeah. It does. That makes sense. Consequently, grace and mercy are just all over the place. How about justice? Jesus is the foundation of the justice of God. He took the penalty for every sin that ever happened. He became sin. Became sin. You think about that? Yes, we could talk about this every week. I probably do sometimes because it's the reality of it. But he did it to take away the penalty part to satisfy the justice part of God. Yes. Done.
Amen.
And then he said, and now the other part is you get to be the righteousness of God. When do I earn that? Day you believe. The day you believe, you become, in his mind, the righteousness of God in Christ. And the rest of our lives are in working that out to become an experiential thing where we touch other people that way. But you won't do it if you don't believe that he isn't here to judge you. Well, I can do anything I want to. I wouldn't try that. He's a good father. And that's not a healthy way to look at things. The thing is this, when he releases that new, the life of God in you, this is the thing that got me. He just got me. He's very subversive in this because his thoughts are above my thoughts, and that's just the way it works. But I had no idea, I'll use Don here, I had no idea that he was going to do this and just click me on the inside, and he changed my want tos. I gave him permission. Here, I'm yours. But he changed the things that I liked. Amen. Not immediately. First thing I had to yield was go to church. I thought, I asked my wife, do I have to do that? Well, sure. I said, why? You know, don't forsake the gathering of the saints together. I didn't know I was going to fall in love with everybody. You know, I'm going to have a new family and you know, all that kind of stuff. Didn't know. But here's the deal, for if whether you're listening to me right here or if you're listening online, don't sell him short. He has the capacity to change your want-tos to the... So it's not robotic. It's like you fall in love with the things he loves and you begin to have a distaste for the things that he hates. And pretty soon, holy smoke, man, you're in agreement on a lot of things. It's amazing. Stand up with me, if you will. We're going to, because I know me. I'll keep preaching if I. That's right. Hallelujah. A number of you have probably heard 100 sermons about you need to be born again. And I'm teaching through the book of John, so you just can't avoid it, okay? But there's nothing more important. Jesus said it twice. There's nothing more important. And so if that's something you've never done, I'm going to invite you to do that today. And, you know, I'm just going to do it this way. I'm going to pray for us. But what you have to do is just agree with what I've said. Okay? And if you have already done that and you're sure of it, then just thank him for the fact that it's already a reality. And take us on. Take us on. I was in the prayer room yesterday, and I felt like, it's like I was handed an invitation. This was in my mind's eye, and nobody walked up and gave me an invitation. But in my mind's eye, I opened it up, and it just said this, there's more. And here's the invitation, engraved invitation to you, and there's more. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us this morning. Lord, we take the words of Jesus who said, you can't see or get into the kingdom of God unless you're born from God, born from above, born again. Holy Spirit, you know the heart of every person. And if there are people listening to me today that are not born again, I ask that right now they would say, Father, cause me to be born again. Cause me to believe in you. Let my sins be forgiven. and pour your love in my heart and your spirit in my life, that I might be alive with the life of God. Lord, I thank you that some years ago you did that for me. Life's never been the same. And we're counting on the fact, Lord, that you're going to change people's lives today. That the light switch is going on and new life is entering into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Thank you for the reality of and the truth of the word. And Lord, we celebrate today. Lord, we feel like today we've scratched through and pushed away anything that's keeping us from you, and that we can be one with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you do me a favor, okay? If you prayed that way, you tell somebody, someone that you're with or someone that you know that's a, call them, let them know, hey, I prayed with Pastor John today, okay? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.